The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Fem.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome back to Locatora Radio. Welcome to season 4, Podcasteras Peligrosas, Wanted for Crimes Against the Patriarchy. Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela, which is just a very, very, extremely extra way of saying a podcast.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you Quarantine Confidential, a special pandemic broadcast about our experiences with quarantine, podcasting, and COVID-19.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we spoke with Nigeia Menchen about mental health for people of color in times of crisis. Tune into that episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Audioboom.
Some updates, some housekeeping before we get into our interview this episode. Make sure that you have signed up. You've subscribed to our newsletter, Besitos. You can subscribe to Besitos at locatoraradio.com. If you're a subscriber to our newsletter, you will get first dibs and coupon codes for new merch. Locatora, we are dropping new merch soon. So you want to get that notification that the merch has dropped and is ready to purchase before everybody else, because we only ordered very limited supply of our Look Good Talk Mean masks and I Look Good and Talk Mean crop tees. You can also become a patron at our Locatora Radio page on patreon.com, not only for after listening of episodes, but also so that you can receive first dibs and coupon codes for new merch. And Diosa, do you want to tell them what else they're going to be able to access if they become patrons of Locatora?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are actually changing directions a little bit on the podcast. So we're restructuring internally. And what that means is that a lot of interviews are going to be living and existing on the Patreon. So if you want exclusive interviews with community leaders, activists, organizers, artists, etc., that is going to become exclusively available on the Patreon. So head over to patreon.com/locatora_radio.
Yeah, you know, we've been podcasting for 4 years. We still only put out 2 episodes a month, but we have a ton of folks reaching out, requesting interviews on Locatora Radio. But realistically, we don't have enough hours of audio each month to accommodate all of those interviews. We want to be able to interview all these artists and creatives, community leaders. I want you all to have access to those interviews as well. And just a reminder that as an indie podcast, that's a really great way to also support the content creation is on patreon.com. And if you yourself want to be featured on Locatora Radio, you can think about, are you somebody that might want to do a gram live with Locatora? Do you buy an on-air ad for our podcast audio? Do you want to be a featured Patreon exclusive interview? What have you? There's a lot of different, do you want an interview on the podcast itself? There's a lot of different options. So you can always email us at hola@locatoraradio.com and we can have that conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Also, you can catch us on Instagram Live almost every Thursday. We've taken a couple weeks off to regroup, but you can catch us on IG Live, where we host our segment Oye Locas, where we answer listener questions every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you don't already follow us on Instagram and Twitter, you can head over there to Instagram and Twitter at Locatora_radio. And if you don't follow us on Instagram, you may not have seen, or maybe you have, that we were recently verified. That's right. We have the blue check next to our name. How do you feel about that, Mala?
I feel like very excited, but I would like to echo the sentiments of our followers and listeners who commented on Twitter and on Instagram, which seems to be the overwhelming feeling.
That was
finally
the overall consensus.
To quote our listeners and followers.
Yes, that was definitely the overall sentiment, the consensus that, okay, finally. It's just like, you know, our locamores, y'all know that sometimes these things seem very small in the grand sense of things, but as creators, that blue check does give you a sense of legitimacy, right? To not to us, not to our community, but to the outside world, right? If you're a creator and you're trying to vet someone that's bigger than you, right? Let's just say a Maria Hinojosa, you know, that blue check does hold weight. And so for that, we're super thankful. We're really happy that we now have that blue check so that when we are trying to get, you know, big guests for the pod, we have that, you know, in our armor of everything else.
Absolutely. It's a good time. It's exciting to see like the hard work pay off. And considering how much we've grown, I mean, we've been doing some reflecting, and when we started, it was very much a fun thing to do. And now we are a fully fledged production house and like pitching and putting together budgets and like really trying to get to that other level. And we can see like it's coming, it's approaching, it's on the horizon. So once again, thank you to all of our listeners because you are making this possible. And it just really has been very striking how important like independent media has been, especially during the pandemic, the protests, everything that's been going on globally. So I'm grateful to be like part of it and part of the action, you know?
And also, as always, if you are a cis hetero man listening right now, we appreciate you. Thank you for giving us, for streaming us. Thank you for giving us listens. But, you know, you can also aspire to be our human wallet. You can, if you are looking for a findom drain, escort yourself to our Venmo at locatora-radio. We will gladly take your money from you.
Yeah, we just did an interview earlier before we recorded this episode, and the question came up of how do I like to be loved? And one thing that I forgot to mention is I love a generous man. I like a man who wants to do nice things for women, who wants to pay for women's things and buy gifts and donate to independent Latina podcasters. So if you ever wondered, oh my God, like I wonder like Mala and Diosa, like how can I capture their attention? Like, how can I really just impress them? You can hit the Venmo. It's at Locatora-Radio. Hit up your homies that are in finance. Talk about who wants to fund this indie podcast production house. Find us an angel investor. Get us seed money if you would like to be on our good side.
Yes, I echo that sentiment 100%. In other news, just a quick reminder, Locamores, you can get 15% off of your purchase from Latina-owned makeup brand, Viva Cosmetics, one of our favorite cosmetic brands. You can visit vivacosmetics.com and use our affiliate code LocatoraRadio15.
Viva also got their blue check mark recently.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
So lots of love to Viva because they've been growing their business and hustling and grinding and working full time and doing the whole thing just like us, you know, but in the cosmetics lane. And they launched newer visuals not too long ago. And it's been really beautiful to see how even their like branding has grown. So shout out to them.
We love Viva. They walk the talk. They're amazing. Check them out. Support Latina-owned businesses.
Yeah. And that affiliate code is LocatoraRadio15. And we do use their products. We love Viva Cosmetic products. Like, we can truly vouch.
Truly.
The other thing that we like to vouch for at Locatora, we are advocates of therapy. Whether or not we're attending consistently, we're always advocating for it. And this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So if you're struggling and seeking options for therapy, you can head over to trybetterhelp.com/locatora and get 10% off of your first month. That's trybetterhelp.com/locatora and get 10% off your first month.
Amazing. Amazing. Definitely check that out. So, you know, we're just going to speed on up to the second half of our episode today because we have an amazing guest for this next portion of Locatora Radio, of our radiophonic novela. I cannot believe we have the honor and privilege of introducing Jackie Cruz. Mala, do you want to intro our guest, tell our listeners about Jackie Cruz?
Yes, Jackie Cruz, actor, entrepreneur, vocalist, and New Yorker of Dominican descent. Jackie Cruz became a household name for her portrayal of Marisol Flaca Gonzalez on the Netflix critically acclaimed series Orange is the New Black. The original series, created by Jenji Cohen, became an award-winning magnet and released its seventh and final season in 2019. But since then, Jackie has been making music, singing, performing, creating art, getting married, you know, raising dogs, being a dog mom, just living that life. And we had a really good time interviewing Jackie. We met Jackie's dogs. We talked about being dog moms, dog mothers, Latina's creativity, acting, how she got into it. So without further ado, our episode with Jackie Cruz.
Podcasteras peligrosas.
Let's get started. So, you know, we're all at home right now, right? We're in a pandemic. We're looking at how to get creative, how to connect with our audience. And I've seen that you have been on Instagram a lot. You've been on the IG lives. You've been performing on Instagram for your community, for your followers. And it's so beautiful. I caught when you were singing Valerie. I think it was last week. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about getting creative at home during quarantine, during COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, the one thing that I've learned through COVID is, you know, as an artist, what's next? We're never like, you know, kind of satisfied with the moment. And I feel like a lot of gratitude has come through COVID for me because I got to spend some time with my family, my little sister, she's 13, and she drives me crazy. But it was, you know, we got connected more. And I feel like, you know, also getting inspired musically has been a challenge. So I was live with Jackie like the first few months of quarantine, and I got to meet some incredible artists that, you know, people don't know about. And I opened my platform to them and asked them questions and had them sing. And I had people from all over the world. Sorry, it's my chihuahua. Mira, ¿te puedes callar? Hey. Sorry. I had a carrier.
It's all good. We're all dog moms over here.
I have five dogs. I'm the dog lady. But yeah, so I got to meet this so many incredible artists from all over the world. I had a Salvadorian rap in Swedish, in Sweden. Like, it just was crazy. And like, I was crying, like just beautiful little girls even singing to me. And I was just, it felt really good to connect with people because, you know, I've been, you know, very solitaire, and I literally just got into the studio maybe like 2 days ago, but it's been almost like since quarantine that I haven't been able to get in the studio with someone. So that's how I've been keeping myself busy. And then randomly I get on live accidentally, really. And I'm like, screw it. I'm going to do karaoke for everyone. I'm pretty much bored or something, but like, it feels, so I'm like, sorry guys, you're gonna hear me sing, but everybody, you know, has fun on there. And it's been like, you know, a very interesting few months, but I've been trying to, you know, do the best I can to stay motivated and try to inspire people around me through my social
media. Yeah, you've been killing it with the content. And I think for a lot of us, we were introduced to you as an actress on Orange is the New Black. You played Flaca. We love Flaca. I love the character. And then coming to know you as not only just an actress, but a singer, a songwriter, a musician. And my question is, in your personal trajectory, before Orange is the New Black, were you a singer first? Were you an actress first? What came first, the music or the acting?
For sure the music. When I was 15, well, actually, when I was 15, I moved to California, to Hollywood here, you know, it was very, you know, different. But when I saw Whitney Houston sing in The Bodyguard, it was all dubbed in Spanish, hasta se fue la luz, in the middle of the movie, you know, in the DR. And then it came back and I just saw the finale and I was just like, mami, eso es lo que quiero hacer. Quiero cantar y quiero estar en la big screen. And she's like, let's see if you got what it takes. You know, I'm like 6 or 7. And then she's like, oh, you got some potential, girlfriend. And she put me in like acting classes and singing, you know. And then I have to say, music has always been my heart. And I get to play, like, it's natural for me to, like, you know, be other characters because I love to be goofy and fun. But singing is the true me. And I'm very vulnerable and shy sometimes, and it's but when I'm myself, I'm more shy, which is silly. But I love that I got to open up through my album Hija de Chavez, and I got, you know, I wanted to show people like where I came from and who I am, and I named every single song after the women who raised me. And I wanted people to know that my father's name is Chavez, but I never used it. And I have the first song is dedicated to him. Maybe he understands me through my music. Because personally, like, I don't know if we get each other. But so singing be mi corazón, and then acting is just like a plus that I love to do. And I'll never quit either one.
I love the fact that you've already brought up like being a dog mom, relationship with fathers, like in music. There's a lot to delve into. Lots to dive into. So I kind of want to ask, where are your dogs from? Because we have a ton of dogs at home, each of us. And like our dogs are like from the street or from the Humane Society or somebody's tia had a litter of puppies and then we got one. And I love the origin story of Latino dogs. Tell us about your dogs.
Yeah, my tia just had 8 puppies, and I drove from Maryland to here because they were so young with the puppy, Priscilla. And so, yeah, I know from my tia because, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. She, like, you know, I'm not going to say the word, but, you know, it was inappropriate behavior from her dog. And she got 8 puppies randomly, and all of them are adopted. And then this one is from Tijuana. And I've had her since college. So she's like 17 or something. It's crazy.
Oh, She's a Chihuahua from Tijuana. I love that.
She doesn't have her paperwork, but she's fine. No one asks any questions.
That is so funny. Does anybody like check for your dogs, like any of the like local animal shelters or anything? Because they come by our house to make sure that all of our dogs have licenses. Like, yeah. We won't tell anybody.
I have another Mexican dog here. Modi. His name is Modigliani. All of my dogs are pink. Picasso. I have Modigliani. I think they went outside, but because, you know, my husband, he's an artist, and we got our dogs together, and then we broke up for like a year and a half and got another dog. We're back together. So now I really do have five dogs. It's insane.
So first of all, congratulations. I know that you're recently married. So let's talk, you know, if you're comfortable, let's talk about that. Like marrying another artist. A lot of our listeners are, you know, in the art community as well. You know, dating another artist can get kind of hectic sometimes. So, you know, what, you know, if you're open to talking about that experience of marrying another artist, getting married during a pandemic, like, let's talk about that.
I know. Well, you know, I always wanted something small anyways, so it just made sense. I didn't want to wait another year. Like, and I, you know, people get engaged and like 5 years later, they're still engaged. So I just like, I was ready for, you know, like 2 years ago. So I think it was really good that we separated to kind of grow into like, even me as an artist, as a musician, that's when like I just sat down and wrote, and then he just painted and like became better. And we just grew our, you know, not our separate ways, but we grew within our own art. It's just different because he's a painter, you know, it's a different kind of art, you know. He's not, you know, on TV, you know. So it's just a little different. So each other off, because I love his work. Like everything you see in the back is his artwork. I just, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's a balance between us, and he's very intellectual, and he makes me read all these things that I don't think I would ever read if it wasn't because of him. Like, I know all these painters and, you know, like the Basquiat, the, you know, the Picasso, and I know the Blue Era. Like, I know everything about them because Fernando, we talk about it. So it's really cool. I see your Frida in the background.
Yes.
I love Frida. Aww. So yeah, we're obsessed with Frida Kahlo too. And yeah, so in getting married through the pandemic, it was just like 12 people, my immediate family and his immediate family, I swear to God, because like it was a Mexican family meeting a Dominican family. And you would think, I don't know, you would think we would be loud, but my family's more like conservative. Like they like to like make sure, you know, they know people before, I guess, they're loud. I don't know. So it was like a weird kind of like, and Fernando's mom was like, oye, las tías, you know, like, it was like my big fat Greek wedding, crazy wedding, but it was great. It was a little stressful because Fernando's mom is named Laura. And during our wedding week, it was Laura, el huracán de Laura. And I was like, so like the whole week there in Oaxaca, in Mexico, a beach town, it rained the whole week. And so we had that drama, like, oh, I heard it's going to rain all week. I'm like, no, mom, it's not. But we made food at home. Like we got to know each other. There was like, you know, Wi-Fi issues, you know, because my sister's still going to school. But it was like beautiful. At the end, like the last day was the wedding, and it all came together, and it was a dream come true, like right on the beach, and everything was organic. I met the people there, you know, like the musicians, I met them there. I met the woman who helped me plan it there. So it was all local hire, and it was just very intimate and organic and not stressful, really. Only like my little sister stressed me out a little bit.
I love that. That sounds like a beautiful experience. We are always talking about wanting to go down to Oaxaca because we hear it's gorgeous. Did you absolutely love it?
I love Oaxaca. I have my little area over there. You know, if things get crazy in America, you know, so I the people are so kind. It was just a beautiful community. And like, we got married and like, we walked down the street and took pictures randomly, like me barefoot and my silk dress. And everybody was just congratulating us. Like, we had so much mezcal, like it's insane. And it was a beautiful thing. And it did rain on my wedding. And I had to do this beautiful like white catpa, but I'm so happy that I did it. And my sister, who's 13, I was like, Mom, I'm not paying for anything more. If it rains, let people dance in the rain. And Aki, no, nadie se quiere mojar. My little sister was, I was like, she's like, don't worry, Isabella will get you the carpa. And I was like, what? You know? So like, she got me the carpa, and it was actually the most beautiful thing because it matched like the wedding. It was a white wedding. So everyone wore white. And it was just beautiful green flowers. And it just worked out really pretty. And then the next day, it was sunny after my wedding.
Of course.
Yeah. It happens. So always.
Because I wanted that beautiful view with the sun and all that. So it just all ended up working out. And I flew out the photographer. Her name is Erica Hernandez. And ella es mexicana también. So everyone who worked at my wedding was Latino. Just my tías helped me decorate, and it was just a very family event. And Fernando, he drew every menu, so one got to take home a little piece of his art.
That's extremely beautiful. Wow.
And I'm living for the Dominican Mexican fusion. Like, I live for it.
Yeah,
I
think we love a fusion.
Two excellent cultures coming together to be excellent.
You know, we are at the I guess the later end of Hispanic Heritage Month or Latinx Heritage Month. You know, what are your thoughts on this month? Like, we always say that, like, okay, all of a sudden everybody's remembering the Latinos, the Latinx gente, right? They're reaching out. What about when the month is over, right? And so what are your thoughts on Hispanic Heritage Month? Does it help put the projects out?
You know, like the media and everyone is interested in what, you know, the Latino community is doing. But I do agree with you. We should celebrate each other every day. We work so hard, and, you know, especially being in this country, we work triple hard, you know, and just to make it through the day, you know, and you couldn't have a day without us. So it's kind of beautiful to celebrate this month, but I do agree. It's an everyday celebrate our story, celebrate everything about us, because we bring a lot to this country. And it would be kind of black and white if we weren't involved. It's very colorful. We're very colorful people. And I feel good that we get to celebrate it, but it's an everyday thing for me, at least, because, you know, we're Latino, so we celebrate every day.
And I feel like as far as Latinos in media and entertainment are concerned, Dominican representation is really on the rise and is really like on the come up, because there, I feel like, was a period of time where there really wasn't much at all. And like the other day, I just watched, you know, Vampires versus the Bronx on Netflix, and it was so good and I loved it. And like, we are big fans of the Bodega Boys, you know, Jesus and Mero, obviously fans of yours. You didn't play necessarily a Dominicana in Orange is the New Black, but, you know, on TV and doing and making movies and doing the thing. And I'm wondering if you could just speak on that in what you've observed as far as Dominican representation specifically.
Yeah, I mean, that was so brilliant. Vampires in the Bronx, the adobo, like all that is hilarious. I do feel like we are up and coming, but again, like I told you, like, well, like you said, I played, you know, Mexicana mostly in Orange is the New Black. So for me, it's still a struggle because they still don't really know, you know, what we look like, because we don't all look the same. And we're just, you know, all different colors and sizes. And even if I audition for Dominicana, sometimes I don't even get it because they say I don't look enough this, enough that. I'm like, so it's a bit of a struggle. I can't tell you that the doors are like so open and they're flying and I'm getting all these roles. I've actually, everything I've done recently, I don't think I've played a Dominican in anything, maybe. I don't know. Oh, my recent short, Rosa, that just won Black Star Fest and Woodstock, I made sure that she was Dominican, And I get to talk in Spanish, and I made sure that that was my accent. And I believe that for me right now, I'm opening my own doors. I'm auditioning for everything. But everything I have booked is just, you know, a wife. Everything is just a woman. It's not really a Dominican woman, you know? So, the struggle is real and the doors are opening up. But again, even in my own country, like, tú no te pareces dominicana, like, you know, like, it's just like, where do I fit in? Yo soy gringa para allá y aquí, you know, like, they're confused. You look all these different things. And I'm like, we are America's future. You know what I mean? We are, you know, we're biracial. We come from all different, you know, and some have more than others. And because, you know, everyone always says, oh, los dominicanos son más moreno también. But that's not true either, because I live in Santiago and we all are, you know, we go from A to Z. So representation is a little difficult right now. And when it comes to being Dominican, but I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. I'm just going to create my own opportunities. And that's what I've been doing. I've been working on a TV show that hopefully, you know, I can't really talk about it yet, but you know, I've been pitching two TV shows, one specifically, and the other one I'm hopefully going to pitch soon. But yeah, it's just me bringing my people also and showing us that we all look different and we have different dialects. And I do love the fusion of Mexican and Dominican, because that's going on a lot here in LA, finally. You know, there's a lot of Dominicans coming up, you know, even in the show Gentrified.
Yeah, Julissa Calderon.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. That was really, but they didn't make, I don't know if she's Dominican on the show.
She is. She plays a Dominican character on the show. We interviewed her on Locatora about her role as Jessica on Gentrified. And they actually wrote her in. Originally, the character wasn't a Dominican character that she was auditioning for, but after she auditioned, they were like, let's change up the storyline and let's make her a Dominicana who moves to LA and is like now here in this community. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I didn't get to watch the last season, but I do love that. I love that they're open to maybe, you know, liking someone and trying to change the story, because it's happening. We're living it. So we deserve that representation. And I told you, I moved here when I was 15. And they didn't know what to do with me. She's like, you know, I have long curly hair, I'm brown, and I speak fluent Spanish, but I don't look Mexican, you know, when I first moved here. And I actually quit acting and I focused on my music. I was in a girl group working under like the Black Eyed Peas. And then I moved to Miami, then Miami to New York. And then I said, hey, after 6 years of acting, I said, maybe New York, and let me give this a try, because I see my people here, you know? There was In the Heights, there was all this, like, Dominicans, and I was like, oh my God, you're Dominican. I was so impressed by anyone Dominican in Hollywood, and at the time, I think I just met Dania Ramirez when I was 15, and she was in Fat Albert, and I was like, I want to be an actress too, and she, you know, she's like, you can do it, girl, you know? It inspired me, but that was, like, the only one that, you know, was really working. So I tried it out in New York, and Orange is the New Black was my first audition after I quit for 6 years and was just working on music. Because I have an EP out in 2010, and I booked Orange in 2012.
And I would love for you to talk about any advice you might have for folks listening who have their own aspirations of going into the arts and entertainment professionally. I think especially in Latinx, Latino communities, we are sort of prepped to go to college or become professionals and try and find a secure career. And we're not necessarily encouraged to go into the arts, to go into acting. It's not a huge thing for us in our youth. So what would you advise to those who are artists themselves, but not sure how to get started?
I say, you know, you gotta follow your heart. Literally, I was waitressing for 10 years and, you know, working like the night shift. I actually worked season 1, 2, and 3 as a waitress. And I was recognizable, but I was seeing, And I did get extra tip, you know, I was, you know, sacándole el jugo. I was like, of course I'm flaca. She's like, oh, can I get a picture with you? I was like, oh, yes. And they would do pictures. She's like, okay, well, I'm going to need that sugar-free Red Bull and vodka, please. I was like, I got you, girl. And like, it was just beautiful because I felt, you know, I loved it. I loved going to work. I love that people recognize the show. I love, you know, that I, you know, that door opened for me, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle through my family. Like my father, he wasn't really excited because I didn't finish college. You know, my tías, they were like, you know, you're getting a little older. But if I could tell you anything, never put a time limit on your dream. And it's gonna come when it's ready for you. And while you're waiting, work on your craft. Because every day, if you think about it, if God put that passion in your heart, why wouldn't you do that? You know, why would you work doing something that you really don't like? So, you know, it's hard. I mean, I was homeless at one point. You know, I went from zero, you know, I went from zero, then I got back to zero, and I got back to zero. And all my failures are the reason that I'm here today and I could share my story, because my journey was, you know, very, very hard to get to where I'm at. But I don't regret, and I love that I did have to work so hard, because someone that is looking at me now saying like, yo, you know, she actually did it. And she went through this, she went through that, she went through this, and I'm going through this. And, you know, maybe you need that. You need that because, you know, that helps me with my writing. That helps me with my acting. The pain, you know, the pain does help, you know, even as Fernando, an artist, like you know, people use that pain and make art from it, whether it's music, whether it's painting, whether it's, you know, bringing those feelings to your acting. So just don't give up, and you believe in you. That's the most important thing. When you believe in yourself and you are yourself, not trying to be someone else because you see all the music out there or all the actors and trying to look like them and trying to be like them. No, no one's going to be like you. No one's going to look like you. And that's where you're going to shine, when you're yourself. And I learned that through my music, really, when I found me with my song, Belly 16.
That is such beautiful advice. Thank you so much for offering all of that, the words of wisdom that you just, you know, spoke about. You know, when Orange is the New Black was really taking off, I feel like that was one of the first Netflix original series, right? Mm-hmm. And so we
House Cards and Orange is the New Black, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, now we see like all these Netflix originals. What we talk about on the podcast is that there's somewhat of a cultural disconnect with our families, and we can accomplish all these really amazing, fantastic things, and our families may not necessarily get it. And so did you experience that with your family when you were, you know, on this hit Netflix series? Did they understand what Netflix was at the time and like the power of it?
Girl, my cousin, one of them, when I don't say names, she was like, what? Is this a web series? I'm gonna get a DVD like sent to my house. Like, girl, I don't know. I think you should like look into doing other things. And I was like, what? And like, even my job, the manager at my job, nobody was like impressed by Netflix at the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And literally, we started binge watching, and you know, I feel like one of the godmothers of Netflix because I feel like, yeah, there was a big disconnect, but my mom was always proud. She's the one person that never gave up on me. And she's like, especially, you know, after my car accident, she was just like, oh, you need to make it more than ever now, Jackie, because you're not supposed to be here. God gave you another chance. And why wouldn't it be to live your dream and share your story and inspire others? So yeah, that's it. Like, Netflix has become this monster, like in a good monster. and it's kind of beautiful to be that show that kicked off like such an amazing, you know, streaming for everyone, because now then Hulu copied and Amazon and all these people like were like, oh, these people are into something. And it's really cool to be a part of that massive beginning. And also, you know, Netflix, like Ted Sarandos, like we can call him any day. He'll invite us to eat lunch at his house, and he's like the head of Netflix, you know what I mean? So it feels good to have that family still there for us. And when I have projects, hopefully I can, you know, bring it to them, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, Netflix is always going to have that special, you know, place in my heart because it opened the doors for a lot of us, and it was groundbreaking. I don't think till this day we have a show like Orange Is the New Black. So I feel like we need to go back to that, you know, to the beginning and show the world these incredible women's stories. And I, five Dominicans in one show. I mean, I think I want to see more of that.
Truly groundbreaking.
It was.
And that the show, like you said, that launched this, an entire cultural shift into the way that we watch TV, like the binge model, right? And it was launched because of this show that was about women of color. Like, that is what caught everybody's attention to the extent mm-hmm. that they could not get enough. Like, they had to watch more. And I think that's super cool.
I just feel so blessed that that was my open door. And I made it through that door being Latina. Yes, I was Mexicana, but I was there with my girls, you know what I mean? And like a lot of us in this industry who do look unique and different, like, you know, let's say Zoe Saldana or whatever, you know, like Rosario Dawson, like it's hard to break into the industry being who you are, you know, because they never seen anyone like you, you know? So it kind of felt really amazing to be known for being Latina and being that girl that everyone thinks that's your home girl. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think we need to continue making shows like that, because that's why I started my own production company called Unspoken Film. And I've been working on a lot of incredible things, and hopefully you'll see them very soon.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Jackie Cruz, for joining us. You're a phenomenal actress, musician, and we're excited to see this next phase where you're creating projects, right? And you're creating the hit Netflix series show, right? Like, let's just call it now.
Yes,
so let's call it now. Where can folks keep up with your projects and your work?
JackieCruz.com. And follow me on my social at Jackie Cruz. And that's pretty much it. You know, like, I just love that. I feel like as a musician too, like, I am a voice for the people. And I don't have like a machine behind me. Like, I'm my own team. So like everything you've seen, like, you know, in my music is all created through me and my vision too. So, you know, I need your support. I need y'all to listen to my music. I'm my own machine. So if I could leave you with anything, it's just that to never put a time limit on your dream and follow your heart, because no matter how long it takes, like, you won't be happy until you do what you're meant to do and whatever it is that your heart desires.
Jackie Cruz, actress, feminist. We hadn't even talked about feminism today. Actress, feminist, singer, songwriter. Thank you so much for joining us on Locatora Radio.
Thank you.
We love your work. Yes. And that concludes the interview. We did it.
Yay.
A radiophonic novella.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Fem.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.